Welcome to Heaving Bosoms, the podcast where best friends recap romance novels while inviting cherished pals to guide us through new worlds. I don't know if you need to hear this, but there's only 24 more days until spring. I, for one, am pumped to see nature wake up again. I need it so badly. This Friday on the bonus feeds, we've got more Sea Sand Warriors for you. Sabrina is giving us quickies on the next few books in Ursa Dax's Alien series. That's this Friday on the Patreon or Apple Podcast feeds. This week, we're embarking on a new journey with a great pal. We're recapping Dark Fever, the first book in Karen Marie Monning's Fever series. And luckily, BFF Rebecca is here to shepherd us through the lore. Here's part one of our recap of Dark Fever by Karen Marie Monning. Didn't record on the place that's gonna record Rebecca. Y'all, we have Rebecca here today. Oh my God, I'm so glad you're here, Rebecca.
Me too.
For so many reasons.
I'm delighted. You know, Guys, I'm really, really happy to be here. Ooh. I'm really, really happy. Like, I feel like I was made for this moment in time. Like, I was
You've certainly
born.
Been training for it.
I've been working towards it.
Yeah.
And when Sabrina in the group chat was like, hey, has anybody read this book, I was like, I like a Kool-Aid man through the wall to get to her. And also, I've been honestly deathly ill. Like, I had a sinus infection and I was healed by the power of antibiotics, but then I feel like I came all the way back to life. By learning.
You were about to say that you were healed by the power of Karen Marie Monning and Dark Fever.
I do feel like I was fully resurrected back to life by the idea of talking about this book with you two.
Hell yeah.
And so I'm so freaking excited.
Well, because okay, so I was like halfway through the book and I started messaging all of my group chats of people who may have read this book because I have questions, okay? And I'm also ready. Like, I need
I
some
have so
spoilers.
Many questions.
Because like,
I am going to need a couple spoilers. I already got right in your face, Rebecca, and I asked you for a spoiler, and
you,
didn't give it to me.
What was the spoiler
I was so
you asked
mad
for?
At you. I asked if What's-His-Fuck is a druid, or at least part druid, but now I'm thinking that the big bad is a druid. Oh, I don't know who's a druid, but somebody fucking is.
Somebody's
got to
be.
God damn it. Somebody's got to be.
Someone's got to be.
When did you ask that?
She snuck it in today.
Yeah. I snuck it in.
I was here?
No, I think I went to Facebook Messenger. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were like, I must know. I must know right now.
Did I? Like, did I just like enter?
Did I enter my own dark fever?
Like, I was just like, actually, you know what? I'm just not here for a minute. Sorry.
Maybe that's why this has revived me, because last week I was in my own dark fever, and
ooh,
now
yes.
The dark fever has exited my body and I get to speak about it.
Yeah.
I'm really
excited because both Sabrina and I are brand newbies to this series. And so I really think like we're going to really benefit from your point of view, because otherwise we would just be out here like blind little lambs. You know what I mean? And so we need your wisdom and your experience. And I'm stoked about it because like, here's the thing. This was written, what, in the aughts?
Yeah, right? So old.
Yeah,
so old.
Okay.
Boy, you could
tell it's
sometimes.
Dated.
And yeah. Oh, her iPod and how much she loves her trusty iPod is kind of the best. But more than that, the way that narratively we're getting her first person perspective, but it's almost like a journal in some cases.
Yeah.
Or like she refers to us as you.
Like telling somebody the story after the fact.
And like sometimes she comes in with like historical facts that I couldn't figure out how the fuck she would know. You know what I mean? And so it seems like it's obvious that she's talking from like, you know, eons down the line. But
it's a year.
Because of what?
It's 1 year. In the first chapter, she talks about how in the last year, it's 1 year. It's not eons.
Oh, it's only 1 year?
Yeah.
You know, a lot happened in 1 year. What can you say?
Wow. It really sounded like 30 years. It sounded like a Handmaid's Tale situation.
Yeah, like, no. Literally, like, the first line of the book, practically, is her being like, I've learned a lot in the past year.
Yep.
And then, like, this really talks about like a bunch of stuff. And then she goes, but let me start from the beginning.
That was a year. Wow. A lot happens. Because she talks later about how, like, the dark zones, like she coined the phrase dark zone and now everybody all over the world are calling them that. And I'm like, what's happening? Okay, so
well,
here
we go.
Well,
the first book only takes place over the course of like, what, a month and a half? Maybe?
Yeah.
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 Sure. Yeah. Yeah, like probably like 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. Something bananas. Okay, so we open up and...
Wait, what's your anecdote?
What's my anecdote? I forgot. Oh, friend update really quick. I'm sorry, listener. We have to do a friend update really quick. Y'all, the requisite third grade recorder has entered the chat. And I kind of
is this better? No. Is this better or worse than the whistling during Dark Lover?
Is it the same? Really is the question. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. It might be worse because... he's just as obsessed with it, but now Valor apparently has decided that she's forgotten how to whistle. And so today, after I heard Ember play Hot Cross Buns for the 60th time this afternoon, I've heard Hot Cross Buns today more than I have in the past 20 years. I swear to God. And then Valor is in a totally different room, and I just hear her going, whistling, just doing the highest scream voice she possibly can.
Melody, no.
This is like a duplicated curse. It's like, what's the worst possible thing that could happen on a recorder?
Now they're in stereo. Oh,
yeah. Anyway, that's the friend update. I just had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad that you shared with us.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, so when we open up, the prologue is her being like, in 4000 BC, some fae decided to murder up all these bitches who I'm apparently related to because they can see them and nobody else can see them. And then man signed some sort of pact with the fae, which doesn't make sense on its own because the fae... like, barely look at them as sentient beings.
Oh, interesting. But then... There was a pact?
This was the prologue, dude. I don't know.
There was a pact.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, the gross fae, the gross ones, were put in some sort of... The unseely? Yep. The gross boys? The rhino boys?
Can
I tell you how happy I was all book that I was like, Karen Marie Moaning understands me.
I know she does.
Looking at something and being like, you know those rhino boys?
Oh, because they're called rhino boys. I didn't even register that.
You hate to be like this quirky bitch and then be like, oh, it's me, I quirky bitch. But
Yep.
Yeah. Boy, she's a hell of a character whose head to be in this book. I was like,
ooh,
I cannot wait to hear
all of your thoughts.
But I, like, as I was reading, I was like, wow, this is... Is she always like
this? She's very Sookie Stackhouse-coded, for sure.
The first
she's
book,
very,
she's...
I'm a waitress.
Extremely Legally Blonde. Like, what? Like, it's hard?
Yeah.
very... And I think she's supposed to be. And then over the course of the series, it doesn't get any less, like, voicey, the narration. But it definitely gets, she gets more like, a little more
mature?
Grounded. A little, yeah. Well, she goes through a lot. So the trauma really forms and evolves her as a character.
Yeah, plus she's hanging out with so many people who only wear black now.
Right. That'll change you.
Well, but like the Legally Blonde of it all, I cannot express how I feel about her mm-hmm. as a whole, right? Because okay. like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that Mac knows who she is right now, right? Because so yeah. much of the way she talks about her habits and herself is very like, I am Southern Belle. Southern Belle act like this, period, the end. And then I think like as she, I mean, she goes to a different country at the start of this book, and that's going to change a person, mature a person, not even getting to all the paranormal and family drama that we get to, you know?
Yeah.
This book did single-handedly fuck up my search algorithm, though, because Ooh. Now I'm getting a lot of notifications about flights to Ireland, because I okay. did spend like an hour looking at flights to Ireland and Scotland.
So is it your algorithm, or is it just you being like, I'm gonna go to Ireland?
Well, the funniest thing is I don't really have an algorithm anymore. Okay. It fucked up my algorithm in my brain. All I can think about is how soon can I get to Ireland? Well, because, okay, so like I almost, that. The first time I went to England, I was supposed to spend a weekend in Dublin.
You were, yeah.
And
yeah.
Edinburgh. And then that weekend, Harry Styles was doing his music thing. And yep. so plane tickets, instead of being $50, were $600.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
And hostels were oh completely sold out. So, like, I didn't yeah. go, but, like, I desperately want to go. And this bitch, Mac, rolls in like a Mack truck, and she's yeah. like, hey, let's talk about Dublin. And I was like, I could go work in Ireland for a week.
It does sound you really could, beautiful.
Actually.
And yeah. The book makes Ireland sound pretty amazing.
Also terrifying.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not ideal there, obviously.
Yeah, the old folk are coming back. Yeah,
as somebody who has a fear ones. Of the dark even now.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I forgot about your fear of the dark.
Yeah, I have a fear of the dark still.
Oh, my God.
And I probably always will. Uh-huh. And so the shades in this book.
The shades are
not
pretty
cool.
scary.
I'm not okay yeah. with them. Okay.
No. Yeah, the shades, listener, terrifying. Are fae who are barely sentient and they don't really have bodies. And so what they do is they make your body into confetti. Because they
I'm
need
just gonna
a body.
Say, Mel, like, that's a bold statement to say barely sentient, because we don't know that. We never get that confirmation in this book.
Oh, that's true. That's true. She's yeah. wondering at the end whether or not the shades have some sort of like deal with what's his butt, the druid or not druid.
Barons.
I don't know. Barons, yeah. Okay, look. So
we gotta start from the beginning.
We,
let's go.
Yeah, we get all this like download, and it's very ominous because she's like, I didn't know about this a year ago though, and so that's where I have to start the tale. And we turn the page and she's doing, I'm sorry to say it, a big Sookie Stackhouse suntan. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sorry. There it is. It's very I'm a bartender, this one. She's like, I'm a waitress. And she's doing that suntan out on the front lawn. And then she gets a call because the worst has happened. And her sister, who is in Ireland at a study abroad, has been murdered really hard. It's not great. She's not fully together after the murder. And so the parents are beside themselves. And then she's feeling really helpless, you know, and she's feeling like her sister doesn't have an advocate in Ireland, like boots on the ground. And so her case is just being like overlooked and put on the discard pile. So she decides she's gonna go, period, the end. Her family's yeah. fighting her, but then she gets a voicemail. Does anybody want to talk about the voicemail?
Sabrina's got a puzzled look on her face.
Are you doing a look away for a thinky reason or a look away because you hear
yeah,
something in
I'm
the distance?
I'm thinking. I just had a sudden realization about how hard I did in Sherlock Holmes's book.
What?
There's really so little to reveal. I don't understand. What's to Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, what's to Sherlock Holmes?
I was just thinking about Alina, the sister, and mm-hmm. like everything and yeah. the phone calls. And I just suddenly registered like, I just did Sherlock Holmes a single damn thing in this book.
You were just on the journey.
Every single thing in this book was like getting slapped in the face with a wet fish. I just, well, because like I was listening find you and I started thinking about the parents. And, like, there's a lot of stuff laid down that, like, thinking now in the presence... In the presence of other people who've read the book and somebody who has read the whole series, I could have thought a bit more critically about this book and made some connections.
Listen, you were distracted by her white capris. I don't know what you want from yourself. Say,
I love how unapologetically, like, Legally Blonde she is.
She Barbies hard.
She wears flared white capris. And a little camisole and a matching sweater.
Uh-huh. My God.
Cardigan.
If I don't know a single thing about anything that is in this book, I know that this girl loves iceberry pink nails.
Yeah. She's got her matching nail polish. Oh, yeah.
Man, that one skirt that she says is like totally straight and rainbow colored until it frills at her ankles.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a journey for me quite a bit. You know, yes. Just trying to figure that out. Yeah, the only time she sounds normal to me is when she's wearing that slut dress that Fiona gets her.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that's not actually something she would choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I felt very disconnected as far as fashion and things are concerned.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, that makes sense.
Anyway, yeah, so she gets this voicemail. So she, like... She's gotten this call from Ireland, all of these things, and then her phone was dead. She dropped it in the pool, and when she finally got it fixed or replaced or whatever and listened to her voicemail, she had one from Alina in Dublin. She sounds terrified. She's frantic. She's like, oh my God, I believed him. I shouldn't have. Like, I thought I loved him, but he was one of them. And he's coming after me. And
you don't even know what you are. And like,
you don't even know what you are.
We have to find the Smidsmiddle, is what she says on the voicemail, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, did I hear that right? Because it went as she was saying.
She successfully says Shisadu, but she doesn't know what it is.
And how to spell it.
And it's in Gaelic, the hardest language to spell.
It is.
I think there's a C in Lillian in Gaelic. Like, Gaelic is wild, okay? There's nothing phonetic about Gaelic. Gaelic is a totally different alphabet, but it looks the same as our alphabet.
You know, it's wild. Could be that it's phonetic in Gaelic, though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a different alphabet, but it's the same letters.
Uh-huh.
That's very confusing to me.
It is very
At
confusing.
Least in Russian, it's like, you know, a Skrillic or whatever it's called. What's it
Cyrillic.
Called?
Cyrillic.
Cyrillic, thank you.
A Skrillic.
A Skrillic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought as well.
Yeah.
And then her message gets cut off. She's like, he's after me. Oh, no, he's here.
Oh,
dead.
Oh
my God.
And she's like, okay, well, obviously, now I have to go to Dublin to handle this. And I was like, couldn't be me. Nope. You couldn't get me 1,000 miles from that country after that.
I feel like for a sister, though, don't you think protective instincts kick in?
Yes, for sure. I think the only reason that I would hesitate is just because I don't trust my own investigative skills.
Oh, yeah.
I would be
well,
like,
she
what
has
melody
never lacked
you
for
over
confidence
there?
In her life. So,
well,
I...
that's the thing.
But she's 22. So it's like,
yeah, totally.
You have the like unshakable confidence of an early 20s.
Agreed. No, person. Totally agreed. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, my 22-year-old self would have barreled into Ireland hard.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good point.
Especially
here,
if I don't know that there's a paranormal element.
Yeah, no.
If
totally.
I just think it's like a shitty abusive boyfriend or something like that, like, yeah, I'll go fuck some shit up, I think. Yeah. You know?
I think part of it also is like, I think nowadays I would be less likely to go over there just because like there's so much you can do online.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And like reaching, like, I don't know. I also feel like nowadays.
You could start a social media campaign and like.
You could start a social media campaign. I also feel like you could find some like true crime aficionados on Reddit who will have that shit solved in like 10 minutes flat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess at 22, I would have. I would have been like, let me bring my happy ass down there and fuck some shit up. And now I'm just well aware that I'm not really capable of
fucking shit up.
Sure, sure. Well, okay, and I know the sister didn't mean to do this, because let's be real, I hope she didn't know she was imminently on death's doorstep. However, that's the meanest thing she could have done. Like, it's one thing to leave a voicemail. It's another thing to start the voicemail off with, "Why is your phone not on? How could you abandon me like this? You're the person I called when I should have been calling 999 or whatever it is in the UK."
By the way, how wealthy are these people? Because there's a lot of across the pond phone calls every day. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
I don't
that.
Think I'm... they're hurting for money at all. Like, I think she's they're doing fine. They're a rich lawyer
in the
South. Her
dad's an attorney, some sort.
Okay. Because, I was, while I was reading this, I just kept thinking that I was so aware that this was 2005-ish, mid-noughts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is expensive.
And you know what? I did love that, because there was a moment when she was in Ireland where she was like, "And I was pretty stoked that I got back in time to make the call from the bookstore phone." Yeah.
That was relatable.
Yeah. So, okay, look, she goes over to Ireland because she is going to Nancy Drew this shit and make it happen. Or she's just going to, lean on the police until
she's
they get serious
so
about it.
She's going to be so annoying that they can't stop, they have to solve this case.
Yes, basically. And that I could absolutely do.
Frankly,
you know
I think
what
she
I mean?
Could have been more annoying.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a famous Columbo method of solving a crime is just to irritate everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Until they have no choice but to do it to get you to leave them the hell alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I can be a burr in your bonnet, a bee in your bonnet, a burr in your britches, I think is the term.
Under
the
saddle.
Phrase.
I think maybe. All of those are actually shockingly phrases.
I think a lot
That's
of
unusual
them are actually,
for you.
Yeah. Right?
Unfortunately, it's not knowing phrases in 2025.
Fuck. Da.
What? Ah. What's her last name, Mel?
No. Her name. What's her first name?
Oh, that's a great question. What's her first name?
Have we said her first name?
Mac is short for?
Mac. Michaela. Okay. Lane.
That's
Lane.
The one. Ms. Lane.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the assist there. Rebecca,
so
you were very kind and generous
wow,
and charitable.
Rebecca is so much nicer to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I did Kool-Aid Man my way on here, so I feel like I have to be a little generous.
You can be whatever you want. Yeah.
All right. So she's here, though. So she's in Dublin, and she goes to, she's at a, her first thing is she goes out for food. She's like, "I'm going to go find, some good Irish grub," and she's at a pub. And then she notices a weird thing out of the corner of her eye, and this might be the point where I nope out of Ireland, because she sees a super hot guy talking
Ooh,
to, a not super hot lady, and she's like, "What is happening here?" And then all of a sudden, super hot guy turns into the creepiest described fuck in the whole world. He's, 10 feet tall. She's, looking at him, but... his face is long and tall and skinny.
He's referred to as the gray man later on.
I don't like that.
And she
He's
notices.
He's mottled and gray and pussy and oozing. And
yeah, all of them have some sort of decay around them. All of these gross fae, because there are two factions, the gross ones and the hot ones. The gross ones and the sex ones, I feel like, are the two factions for me.
I feel like the sex ones are just any of the royalty. And also, they said that the hot one, there's hot gross ones, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's
really?
There's hot Unseelie as well.
Yeah, because there's hot
the high, the high princes, the high fae of both courts are hot, so.
And they're also sex ones?
Yeah.
Really?
Let me tell you, the sex prince scenes in this book was not on my bingo card.
No,
I
was not expecting museum nudity was not on my bingo card.
Holy shit. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, she sees this guy and he and before that, he took an entire bottle of liquor off the wall and nobody noticed him do it. And so she's All of this is weird, but I have been traveling for 18 hours. Maybe I'm just tired, is what
and
she thinks.
I feel like at first her fey vision is kind of flickering in and out. Like she hasn't learned how to focus it. So it's kind of like she's seeing double, right? And
yeah.
Not, well, like so, understandably, it might be jet lag at this point.
Yeah. Like, that's a yeah, long legit thing. She's going crazy.
Yeah. But she does notice that every time this being touches the woman next to him, she like gets more and more decrepit and
ugh. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucked up.
He's like,
these are two different times. There's the it doesn't matter. Continue.
She sees him twice.
Yeah, the first time is he's just drinking, and that's when the old lady comes out of nowhere and, like, whacks her across the back of the head.
Oh. Yeah.
And, like, okay. She's like, what are you doing? You're gonna get us all killed. And she's yeah, just like, she's like,
how dare you betray your kin like that, you O'Connor?
Uh-huh. Yep. And she's like, I'm not an O'Connor. I'm a Lane, lady.
And this lady, no joke, is like, that flaxen hair and that beautiful skin and those shining eyes, of course you're an O'Connor.
I okay. Karen okay, Murray. Okay, I will say, all of the descriptions of clothing and like her way of describing
and
how
her
she
body.
Looks yeah. is mm-hmm. peak. Not romance uh-huh. author. I was like,
She's like, I'm sexy. And I will describe it to you.
Yeah.
Look at my small waist and my large
boobs. Yeah, I may not explicitly say. Everyone else is going to say I'm beautiful, and I'm just going to put down the facts. And it's that I'm a 24 waist or whatever.
So yeah, like 24 waist. At one point, she talks about how her full breasts jiggle in the car.
She does. She's never in my life.
Listen, I do confess that I have thought about my full breasts jiggling in the car. No, I haven't. No,
you know
I really
what?
Haven't.
Even if you did, good for you.
I don't know.
Into
there
it.
Are definitely some bras that I am hyper aware of. You know what bras?
Yeah,
I'm
no,
if
no,
you
totally.
Yeah, of course.
It's
like
those,
the demi
like,
ones.
The push-up bra. Yeah, 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 the ones yeah, yeah. that like
and everything
hold
jiggles
them.
On the top.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but they don't move at all except like the top of the skin is just like rippling like a little wave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I call that is good engineering, right there.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm. So then this old lady is like, you're going to get us all killed. Like, if you're going to continue to act a fool, you at least need to do it somewhere else because I don't want you to die here. And she's like, this is very intense and I'm going to hold my Southern Belle head high and I'm fucking off and I'm going back to my hostel.
I will say that lady, not the most helpful person.
There are other ways.
No.
Yeah. Not even other ways. She could have been a little slight, like when she realized that this was like a baby yeah. she's here. She
I don't
would have
know
been
that,
like,
yeah, yeah. Like once the Southern accent came out, I feel like she could mm-hmm. have put more context clues together. But there was this moment where what's his name, Barons, is like, wow, I didn't think any of you existed. Like you who are out there in the world not knowing what you are and being untrained. So I feel like it is
yeah,
like
a
subculture
rarity.
That's very intricate. Yeah, tight knit. I don't know. But then again, mm-hmm. she would have like recognized an O'Connor if it was super tight knit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
How is she an O'Connor that she recognizes, but not an O'Connor that she specifically knows?
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly
so,
it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Also, like, let me tell you, as an American who is very recently across the pond, boy, you don't even have to open your mouth. They clock you. They know. They all know.
I don't think there was a single other person in the whole country of Ireland who would have been wearing what she was wearing. Like, ever.
No.
She talks about being in the rain in her flip-flops. And mm-hmm. I'm like, no Irish person looks like you right now. Like, no Irish person has ever worn a pair of white capris. Prove me wrong.
Agreed. Yes. I'm going
to
need
to
few
be
more
fair, that
earth-tone
is a,
knits. Thank you
that
very
is a
much.
Bold choice of clothing for a place that rains.
Exactly.
A lot.
Not a welly in sight on this bitch.
Exactly.
Okay, so the next couple of days, we're going to motor through that because she's just sort of like bumbling around Ireland being like, anybody know what Schmertle Fay sounds like? What's that word? And everybody's like, what? I'm not talking to you. Like, keep moving. Or they'll be like she says the Gaelic word for fairy. And so they explain to her like, oh, we got a tourist on our hands. Like, everybody's coming here for the fairies. And she's like, okay, you can fuck off. I'm here for serious business. This is my grieving process, actually.
Wow. I will say that the way that grief is talked about and described in this book is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was real emotional reading some of it.
I know. Yes,
at one point she, which like, this is such a mood. She's lost in Dublin at some point. This is a couple of days later. She's walking through this like empty, derelict, covered in trash part of the city. There's no lights, but the sun's not quite down yet. And she's lost. And she's walking like, she's like, I'm just going to follow this person and hope that she's taking me back to civilization. And then the lady is like peeking over her shoulder because it's very clear that the only other person in this derelict part of the city is following her. And she's like,
she feels like a mark.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what a mood. And she's like, why is she running from me? And I'm like, only a small town, Southern Belle, would be like, what is happening? She thinks you're going to mug her, Mac. She thinks you're about... Like,
she thinks that you're the diversion so that somebody can come up from behind her and steal her purse while she gives you directions.
Yeah, and so like, she, like, hollers, and she's like, no, I just need help. I don't know where I'm going. The lady just, like, points left. Oh, my God. I've never felt more seen than this moment where she was trying to get directions from somebody and didn't understand his accent.
Oh,
and so she just, it was a 50-50 chance, and she just went in a direction. And then he was like, no, that way.
It's
and
the
like,
other way.
Let me tell you. Okay.
So and he says, are you deaf, lass? And she says, although he could have been saying you have a hairy ass.
Okay. So quick story time. I was a fresh baby 18-year-old gone to college in Lafayette, Louisiana. If you've never been to Lafayette, Louisiana, especially if you are like I was from Southern California. And I crash landed in Lafayette like 3 days before everybody else is getting on campus. And I get a taxi to the school and I have no idea where my dorm is. I don't know where I'm going. I see a dude who looks like he works at the university and I go up and talk to him. Listener, if you've never heard the Cajun accent, especially a very thick one.
Yeah.
And you're not it.
You're not familiar.
I don't want to say unintelligible, but... kind of like I had never experienced anything like it before in my life, and I was a Mac. I asked him for directions and he started talking and I went, oh, I don't know anything this man is saying.
Well, I think part of it is because Cajun is similar to Cockney in that it's not just sound differences. They also have like very specific random ass phrases that mean something completely different.
Yeah.
So,
and so
yeah.
Like, I was just like, I just started nodding and smiling like, okay, And then he was done talking and I was like, thank you so much. And I started walking and he was like, that way. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you.
Even better.
I have my whole life on my back in my bags. And I was like, all right, thank you. Gotta go. And I was like, I don't know if I'm making it here.
Even the beautiful Blair and I in person when we met had some translation issues, me being Prairies, Canada, and her being, you know, from the South. Like, she was, we had a few, like, moments where she was like, what? And I was like, excuse me. did you say what? You said? And then I said? No, you. Anyway, so it can happen. I believe it.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. I was like, oh, yeah, Mac, you know what? We're the same, actually.
Aww. Yeah.
I am the Kayla Lane.
Yeah. That's the only time Sabrina thought that in this book.
Yeah, probably.
So she's in a super dark area, and then she feels like the heebie-jeebies all over her, and she can't pinpoint why, but she makes it out of there, and then she goes into a bookstore. She's thinking it's going to be like this little hole-in-the-wall bookstore, but it turns out it's like a cavernous Beauty and the Beast bookstore.
I love Baron's Books and Baubles or whatever it's
I don't understand Baron's Books and Baubles, but that's okay. I think it's actually a front.
If you think of it as a front, you know, everything makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. If you look at it as a legitimate business, like there's no fucking way that would survive.
Why?
It has like 5 customers and it's enormous. The footprint
and it's 3
is
stories tall
4
in one
stories
room.
Tall.
Just heating that thing in Dublin would be so fucking
I guess that's
expensive.
True. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Plus, we find out later he has a Batman basement that yeah, is also true. Wild.
Well, it's very clear that this guy is like a gazillionaire. There's no way that he's mortal. Zero
yeah,
chance.
I don't think he's mortal. I think he might be part druid. I think he might, you know, his somebody fucked a fae back in his lineage, I feel like maybe. And I don't know that he lives in human years. I think he might have had a long time to put this generational wealth together.
Before you continue, Rebecca, also don't be a nice person. What's his name, Melody?
Oh, damn it.
You, like, just said it.
It's
nope, not that part of his name.
Barons.
Yeah.
Nope. He does have a full name.
No, he doesn't. Is what I've heard. No. Wait. There was a moment where she said that biblical city.
Uh-huh.
His first name isn't Sodom.
Nope. What? The one where the walls fall down. You're so close.
Jericho. Sodom Barons.
Sodom and Gomorrah Barons.
All right, Gomorrah Barons, you sexy bastard.
I mean, Jericho isn't much better, to be honest. So, I don't know, man.
Man, I could have gone with Bethlehem, but Sodom came out of my mouth.
You were thinking Old Testament. You were doing really well.
I was. Thank you. Thank you. I don't remember why the walls came a tumbling. That's a biblical story. I don't know.
They walked around them and they fell down.
Who walked around them?
The Israelites walked around Jericho. This is my biblical background coming through here.
I love it. I need it, obviously.
All right. Not only is Rebecca going to be our biblical expert, as well as our fever expert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's too incongruous, perhaps.
I do have to know, though, how close are we
to
as
what?
Far as Jericho is concerned?
Yeah, how close are we? Does he age in human years?
He, don't think does, no.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's not immortal?
I don't know what you mean by that, exactly.
Interesting. Oh. Interesting.
When would we find out?
Yeah, is it like book 6? Because calling this a romance is fucking laughable. Okay.
I know. There's no
romance.
If
anybody's
going
to wreck
this
as a romance series, I feel like you have to wreck like the first 3 books probably if it goes at this pace.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did do some light Googling because I don't want to spoil too much.
Okay.
And it looks like Michaela's the first 5 books before it. And then I got confirmation because I did ask you this, Rebecca. Yeah.
Before it does what?
It kind of splits off. So Michaela Lane kind of gets the first 5 books.
Okay.
And then we move to another character that you haven't met yet. And kind of like it's more of her POV. Michaela's still in it, but it's like her POV.
Okay.
And then Michaela comes back for like the 7th. And then it's a different POV for the 8th. Like it's kind of, gets messy. Like the first 5 though is considered like the main by most fans, like the main storyline. And then there's like another clump of books that's like a sort of part
cool.
Fever part 2, sort of.
Got it. So it's sort of like the Hidden Legacy series where it's like 3 books and then.
Yeah, it's messier than that though.
That makes sense.
For sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
So Mac, like you find out lots of things about both Mac and Barons.
Because is she a
in
special she-seer?
Books. Yeah, she's...
She's not just a regular she-seer.
No,
she's
real
one.
Fucked up. Yeah, no, yeah.
Ooh, she's real fucked up.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh no, I'm going to
read
this whole series.
You get hints, like, you get hints in this book about, like, how she feels about the dark and, like, her nightmares and stuff. You get hints about, like, something that's not quite right about her coming later.
God
well, and
it.
She fights
damn
on
it.
Instinct. Suddenly she becomes just like a fighty times master at the end of this book.
Yeah.
So that's
I couldn't believe actually how little plot was in this book in a lot of ways. Like so much of it was set up for the next like 4 books. Because I kind of read them all at once because I came to it a little bit after they were published.
Okay.
Or the first few were published anyway. And so I just sort of read them through and I just couldn't believe going back, like how much of the first book was just sort of set up.
Mm.
I mean, she was effective at it though, because like,
it was
for
really
sure,
good, yeah.
Because like when this book ended, I definitely had a moment of, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm. What the fuck do you mean this is the end of the first book?
I know, right?
Yeah, same.
And it's pretty zippy, like they're short books.
Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, look, she goes into this bookstore and she's like, may I use your phone to hail a cab? I'll buy something. And Fiona, the lady there who's like, I don't know, 50 years old. I was hoping you were going to say the next books were about Fiona, but it makes sense that it's not. So she also, do Fiona and Barons have a history? Because he talks about her falling in love with him. So she's getting that young dude.
Oh, but he's probably old. I get the feeling that Fiona was old.
She says 50.
Really?
So not old, but 50. Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, all right.
So anyway, she calls that cab and then she's like, hey, while I'm here, do you know what a she sedu is? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Fiona's like, turns white immediately. All the blood in her body goes down to her feet. And she says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Why would you ever want to know that? Where did you hear from about it? And what are you doing? And she's immediately like, okay, that's really weird. I don't think it's anybody's business. Like, I just want to know what the word means. And then she looks over her shoulder and she says, Jericho, not Sodom, is what she says. And Mac turns around and he's like, I'm going to need this. There's a sexy man, maybe. He's older than her, though. He's like, I don't know. How old is Jericho in human body years?
I would say like a strong mid-30s. Yeah.
I was thinking like mid-30s, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. And she's 23.
Something like that.
Right?
Something around there.
I think
so. Early 20s. Okay. Early mid-20s.
So yeah, he's like, I need you to tell me everything about you, including your last name and social security number and where you're staying and all of that.
He's like, why are you asking after this thing? Except he says it's a lot sexier than that. Boy,
Irish,
I thought.
It's Irish times when he says
boy.
It.
Boy, yep, sure is.
He doesn't have an Irish accent.
No, he has an
unplaceable accent.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that he's been around.
And later on, listener, he looks at her dead in her beautiful green eyes, because that's said no less than 8 times.
300 times.
Yeah, that her world is going to hell in a hand, or her world is falling apart, or something like that. Don't think that I didn't clock that.
He also talks about humans as though he's not one of them.
Yes.
There's no way he's human. There is zero chance that this alpha hole is human. Okay? Zero.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, my human knees cannot do what his knees do in this
book. Oh my God.
At the
very least. Are you talking about the 30-foot drop?
Yeah. One of them, yeah, God, for sure.
Maybe there was a rope, though. You don't know.
Psh, okay. Yeah,
do you like how he gaslit her? He was he was like, "Did you not see my rope?" <It's> like,
mm-hmm. So just 'cause you see it doesn't mean it's not there. Like, he doesn't give her any answers, but it becomes very clear that there's something weird about this Shisadu. And then, so she ends up getting in her cab because he like grabs her.
He almost grabs her.
Mm-hmm.
To stop her from leaving.
She
and
like
maybe
zips out.
Torture her. She's wondering about it. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
It feels weird in her tummy, you know? Mm-hmm. But also her sister just died, so she can't think about shit like that. Sorry, Spirit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
sorry.
You're right, though. You should say it with your whole chest, Melody. You are right. So she leaves. She gets back to her little hostel, and she goes to bed. And then she wakes up to knock, knock, knock on her hotel room door.
At 2 in the morning. I don't care how old I have ever been in my life. If you knock on my door at 2 in the morning, even when I was sprightly and youthful, ooh, I'll be so mad at you.
I just wouldn't have woken up.
She's not pleased, I would say.
That's true.
So
that's
she
true,
realizes
but she didn't kick any balls, you know what I mean?
No. Do you think she could have?
Probably not. But she doesn't know that his clackers aren't human yet, you know?
Mm, those clackers,
Meaty clackers. Boy, that's a callback. That's an old reference y'all just pulled out of the
there. I just want you to know, speaking of clackers, that in the next book...
Yeah?
He...
Oh my God, tell me everything.
Threatens to whip out his cock at one point because she's like something and you're not something and you're not, you know, a man or whatever. He's like,
whoa.
Do you want me to prove it? And so he's about to like whip it out to prove it. And she's like, please, you're a lefty, Barons. And he's like, touche, Ms. Lane. And the whole like righty and lefty thing I had never heard of until this book, where she and her sister would identify whether men, I guess, hung to the left or right.
Oh,
yeah. Like, I was like, you know, it was the first time I'd ever really encountered this idea that you would be looking for people's genitalia in their pants and
sure,
and so identifying
the whole dress
whether they
draft right.
to the yeah.
But I have never looked at a person in my life and gone, which pant leg is that penis down right now?
Is that...
But, like, I think it was more like he's large enough that you can see at a glance whether he's mm-hmm. left or right.
That just makes me think of people going to the club with a literal salami in their pants to make it seem bigger than it is.
Oh, my God, y'all. I wish... Oh, I hope I sent it to somebody because I just saw this reel or whatever of this guy. It's supposed to be him, like, doing a workout at the gym, but in the mirror there randomly is just like a stranger in the background also working out, and you don't realize that like that's the person you should actually be looking at until you can literally see his dick start swinging in his gym shorts, and his dick is like almost down to his knee.
I've seen that one.
What?
It is so long.
It is so wild.
Shockingly long.
And I don't know if it's a comment or the caption or something, but somebody said, "What is he feeding that thing?" It's one of the funniest things I've ever read.
I wonder what the world's longest penis is.
Excuse me while I cackle.
Please hold. Y'all keep talking about the actual book.
Are you going to get his Book of World Records us?
I am about to get his Book of World Records us.
No, I don't want to know.
It's oh, great. No.
Some things are
I'm
just
also
too long.
Very importantly doing this on incognito.
I don't think I need to know about a trouser anaconda.
Well, then you can close your ears and I'll share with listener. Okay?
That's fair.
Because somebody fair. Is listening to this going... I don't want to Google that either, but I am curious.
Sabrina is just taking one for the team, and they are a generous human being. And what
you know
can
what?
We say?
They love doing a public service, you know? Uh-huh. So he's at our door. Oh, no,
no.
Her face. Oh, no. What is
her
face? Oh, her face makes it even worse.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Her
oh, no.
Is...
Tell us.
Oh,
say
yeah.
it. Oh, don't say it. No, say it. Oh, no. She saw something else.
What?
No.
I'm so scared right now.
All right. So if you Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the AI search stuff turned off on my Google.
Good
so
idea.
The first thing that comes up is. So I'm not exactly taking this as, you know, fact, right?
Sure.
It's from the Daily Record, ironically,
okay.
in the UK. And it says, watch as man with world's longest willy measures his dot, dot, dot. And then the description,
not
the little description
willy?
Of this article says, 54-year-old, blah, 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 has a penis measuring a record-breaking. Would y'all like to
oh,
guess?
No. I wouldn't. No, I'm so scared. I'm honestly, like, on the edge of my seat terrified, Sabrina.
18.9 inches long.
Centimeters. No!
And then, if you go to images.
Oh.
Which I shouldn't have gone to.
Never do that. Never do that. No.
Does that man have enough quarts of blood in his body to support an erection that large? Like, I don't know.
It's very long.
I wonder if your
overall, like, blood pressure goes down when you're hard, when you're
yeah,
that
I'm
big.
Wondering.
Yeah, I just... All right. That's enough
Can
of that.
He
I'm
do
glad.
Other stuff when he has an erection? You know, like, does he have basic brain function?
I feel like
with
you would
all
just
of
pass
that
out.
Blood not in there?
You would just pass out. Like, your blood
right?
pressure would drop so hard and so fast.
Yeah. Why is it ironic that it's in the UK? Is there a stereotype that UK men have small
no,
penises?
No, but we're just talking
just
about
we're
how
talking
massive
about
Jericho's massive Dong is.
Oh, and he is in the UK. Okay, got it. Yeah. Got it.
Not really.
Yeah, he's in Ireland.
Yes, you are correct. He is.
Which is not adjacent in the UK?
To the
it's
UK.
Not in the UK.
No. Northern Ireland.
I thought half of it
is
was.
In the UK.
Northern Ireland is, yep.
Oh, it's the North. Wow. Well, here I am over here. Just
well, Michaela Lane, learn something about geography.
Yeah, there's also, just so you're aware, Melody, so you don't make this faux pas, there's no such thing as Southern Ireland. Like, there's no capital Southern.
No. Yeah, there's no. I knew that. I just can never remember which one is affiliated and which one hates it, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. I flew to England in October for one of my best friend's weddings, and they've spent the last 14 years of our lives continuously explaining over and over and over again British versus UK versus English versus, like, all of the
terms. All those things are different terms.
Versus Welsh versus Scottish? Right?
Specifically those.
Specifically
three.
UK versus British versus England is three different connotations, definitions.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Well, why can I have their number?
And I'm not gonna explain it to you right now, Melody, because I don't remember.
Should
off the
we
top of
start
my
a
head.
Group chat?
Anyway, God, this is just like giving me flashbacks to when poor Emily was like explaining the difference between like Duke and Viscount, I like the, like all of those things, and I like I was like, well, what about this? And she's like, there's not really like a black and a white answer there, you know. It's like,
good lord.
Anyway, so she fucks off. She gets home. He shows up. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then he tells her he got in there by saying, "I'm her brother," and they just let him pass the front desk. And so she is like, "Well, I'll open the door because, like,
according to him."
Uh-huh.
Like, do you believe that?
What? That
you're
he's
right.
your brother?
No.
What?
No!
No! What is Karen Marie Mooney out here in these streets doing in 2006?
Do you think that he actually told the clerk that he's her brother and therefore got
no,
up?
No, he probably pole vaulted up
he
into the window.
He
scaled
the window.
And then
to the window,
climbed through
like
somebody else's room, invisible. Mm-hmm. And then got into the hallway, is what I think.
Oh my god.
With druid shit.
Oh my god.
With druid,
by the
yes.
way, I was picturing her hotel room as my hotel room the last time I was in England.
Like a tiny little
because my first time in England, I was at an Airbnb with like five of my friends. And so like it was a very different experience. I have never felt stupider in my life. Then walking into I couldn't figure out how the power worked. I thought that the power was out.
Oh,
I
no.
couldn't figure out how.
Right, because they're usually on switches, right?
You,
like you have
apparently
to turn the switch on.
Yeah. You put the key.
Yeah.
At this hotel, you put the key in a thing to turn on the power for the room, which is brilliant because it means that you have to take your key with you and it turns off everything in the room, right, to leave. But
it's like that,
I,
that season of The Real World where they couldn't watch TV unless they were powering it with a bicycle.
Not quite. But yeah, I see what you're
less
going.
Cardio.
Yeah.
I mean, less cardio.
Made me think of that, though.
But like, I was like walking around this room. I couldn't figure out how anything worked. And like, I was like, I literally messaged my friend. I was like, friend, I'm lost and I can't go ask the people at the front desk because like they already know I'm American. Okay, like they can tell, and I cannot bring myself to go up to them and ask the questions that I have to ask them. Like, please explain all of the. And so, like, I was like video chatting with them. And, like, what do I do here? How does this work? What? Like, and I was like, I have 2 degrees.
But none of them are in electricity in England. So, you know.
Yeah.
You're
that's
okay.
true. That's true. But like, it wasn't just the electricity. I didn't know how anything in that room worked. I was like, how do I flush this toilet? How do I like?
Okay.
Anyway.
So he's like, we need to exchange some information. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, since you asked so rudely, fine. He goes into her room and he's like, where did you find out about this Shisadu? I don't even know if she tells him. Does she tell him about her sister?
Yep. Yeah. No, and then she plays the message for him. She plays the
recording.
Mm.
And then he asks her a lot of questions. And I was like, bro, it's very clear that this is the extent of the information that she has.
Right?
You know, assuming makes an asset of you and me, though, so...
Okay, I did clock that. Was that not a common phrase?
No, that was so silly. I've never heard that.
Okay, I was like, there were a couple of times that she was like, it was very clear that she was like, wow, what an interesting phrase. And I was like, that's just a phrase, Matt. That's just a thing people say
in English. Yeah.
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 I need you to know right now, and it's a spoiler for you and for listener,
yeah,
that in book 7, you find out that this scene, this night that they met, does not go the way that Mac remembers it going.
What?
And there is, what? In fact, and this is a big, this was a huge bomb dropped for both Mac and for the readers. And a lot of people hated it. But I was obviously down because, you know, your girl loves a morally gray asshole.
Hell yeah.
Her memory of this event has been altered. So the next morning, by the man
whom
she is talking to in her room. And so the next day when she wakes up with, like, bruises across her ribs, she didn't get them the way that she thinks that she got them.
How does she get that?
And I have an alternate POV from his POV scene that I can share with you.
Yeah.
That will change everything. But just be warned, it is like a very, like, it was a controversial and a big spoiler. And so.
Okay. You're pulling a fucking Jericho Barons right now. Just give me the fucking spark notes, Rebecca.
I'm into it.
What the hell? What happened?
I can't.
Unless you want to read it to us word for word.
I can't do that to listener. What if they want to read it?
Okay, listener, scoot forward like 30 seconds if you don't want to get this spoiler. Rebecca, tell us.
Are you serious?
Yes, I sent it to you in the chat.
Okay, I will tell you with my words. Listener, you've been warned. They have sex that night.
No!
No!
What?
They have 5 hours of sex that night. They have multiple times of sex.
Why?
They have
Does he erase it? Much
sex.
Why?
That night.
Why does he erase it?
Because he turns around as he's about to go. He sees the regret in her eyes. And he's like, she's not ready for what she really is. Like, she's not really ready to face, like, how she really feels about anything.
Oh.
Or really, like her true kind of self that she has,
self,
like, revealed
and urges
over this.
And...
Yeah, over this evening. So he erases
I'm
it
gonna
all.
I'm going to be reading this whole thing.
And
oh my god, damn it.
Down
okay,
the hole.
I
goes fuck. Back to like ground zero, square, whatever.
Okay,
square
so like
her.
I had at the end of this book, I had made the decision that I'm going to continue the series. I'm not going to voraciously imbibe it the way that I have been other.
Not like a
things.
Traditional rabbit hole. Yeah.
I'm making the choice to read it. It's not the compulsion. You know?
Yes. Okay.
The kind of compulsion that led me to fall asleep at 4:15 this morning because I couldn't stop reading Lord of Ice by Galen.
Yep.
I will say that after this book, every book ends on a fucking cliffhanger. So
of course.
You're going to start, it's going to start getting more and more like, oh, well, now I need to know what the fuck happens.
Well, and frankly, I hadn't decided how intense I was about continuing to read this until you literally just gave us that spoiler. And so now I'm like, well, I guess I gotta read this now, you know?
Do we watch happen or do we find out, like, in a narrative way? Is my question.
She essentially gets her, like,
memory back.
There's like a block on it, and then that block sort of like disappears.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry, listener. You should have gone farther than 30 seconds.
It's fine. If I have my shit together, I will put a timestamp in.
Will
you? You could do like a little sparkle Spoiler.
Anyway, yeah, so this may have kicked it up a notch. It hasn't kicked it above the rest of Galen Foley's Night Miscellany series, but sure. I think I said that wrong. I've never heard that word out loud.
I would have said miscellany.
Yeah,
I think miscellany, that that's the
but I think
one.
That miscellany is the British pronunciation.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know that for a fact. I just think
I am accepting it as canon.
Cheerio,
Chubby. It doesn't matter what it actually is. Yeah, just watch all of our British, English, UK listeners be like, that's wrong.
That's
blatantly
wrong.
That's wrong. It's, and guess yeah. what? I don't care.
It's miscellany oop. Is what they would say.
What?
There's like all these more letters in there that
did you say miscellany oop?
Yeah, either aren't in there really or you don't pronounce the letters.
Must demand that we move on. I must demand.
You're correct because we're like
Leicester.
15% of this book.
Leicestershire.
Okay. So he leaves, and then he's
he leaves
like,
fucking sated. We don't know that though.
But he leaves and she has no answers and she's like, I have no interest in you. And then this is when she has the experience with the gray man where she's at the bar, she goes to a pub, she gets food, and then she sees that creepy bastard sucking yeah. the beauty out of this lady and turning her into yes. like a husk of a person. And she's like, oh shit, I need to go talk to Barons. And so she goes back to the bookstore and boy, we are back on our shit, because she shows up at the bookstore like 10 minutes after it closed. All of the lights are off. And then she yells out loud, but which like, ma'am, clearly this is a thing. She yells out at the door. She's like, Jericho, I need to know about the Shisa do. And then he like appears out of the darkness and he's like, what are you doing saying that out loud? And like yeah. shoves her into the shop while these shadows are moving in a way that shadows aren't supposed Ooh. To do it. And that's when I would have clocked out.
Babe. Bye, guys. I'm done.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, prehensile shadows are not a thing where I live.
Yeah, and apparently, like, she never sleeps with all the lights off ever again, which sounds like hell. And so he, really they're
better
talking.
Better than the alternative.
True. Better than being human confetti. They're also dried out.
Husks.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like parchment. Husky confetti. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. And so basically they're talking. He's like, I will keep you safe. Kind of. But yeah. actually, you need to, you're definitely being hunted now. So you have to go chop off all your hair and dye it a different color. And so she goes and magically her hair has no spots and looks beautiful on her. And it's now yeah, shoulder her, length and perfect.
Turns out it doesn't matter what color her hair is. Her skin bounces off it perfectly.
Yeah.
A universal experience.
Listen, Melody, she had to change her nail color because it doesn't match her new hair tone. So
that is actually true. She has to go for more autumn colors now.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Now the whole book has changed.
I know.
And it's kind
there's
of
also,
amazing.
There's also other things that you find out that change the first book entirely.
Oh my God. Like, there's this moment later on because he starts, look, so we find out that she is a person who can see fairies. He says he's going to train her, and now she lives at the bookstore. Congratulations, you don't have to pay rent anymore.
Yeah.
And then he starts taking her to, like, different places because
she becomes his personal oop detector.
Yeah. An oops detector.
Yeah, object of power.
Yeah, but it sucks, though, because basically she gets morning sickness every yes. single time she encounters.
And, like, period cramps at the same
yeah,
time.
It's horrifying. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Like, at one point, she comes down to, like, show him her hair or something like that, and she just spontaneously hits her knees and vomits on the rug. And she's like, what is my body doing?
And
he just
like,
has
a like,
triumphant look on his face. And he's like, oh, yeah. Turns out you can sense the Shisa do because he has photocopies of a couple of pages. That's the reaction she gets at photocopies of yeah. a couple of pages. Mm-hmm. She's going to have double bucket syndrome with the whole thing.
She's gonna have what?
Double bucket syndrome. I've never heard that expression in my life.
That's a
what?
That's a
it's ass. It's an ass out of you and me thing. I've never heard that.
I haven't either. I know exactly.
Like, illustrative, one on each end,
for sure. What you're saying?
Yeah, she has double. Yes. You don't know which end it's going to come out. You've got to catch it both.
Melody.
Tell me how
I was picturing the two buckets in front of you and your puke going in a spray between the two of them.
Honestly, that's what I was imagining, actually. That's a talent is what that is.
I was like, wow, good aim.
Meanwhile, I was imagining essentially spit roasting on two buckets.
I think that's accurate.
Spit roasting in reverse.
Yeah.
Instead of something anything going in both ends, I'm so sorry, listener.
This has gotten real gross. I'm so sorry for you.
No.
And for me also.
I'm just saying, carefully moaning is the one that said it. I didn't. Yeah. I'm just recapping here.
By the way, something I learned.
Yeah.
This book, it's moaning, not moaning. If you Google
I beg Marie her moaning, pardon?
Yeah, I beg her
Google
pardon. It should
Karen
be moaning.
Marie moaning. The first thing that shows up on Google is Karen Marie moaning, parentheses, moaning, parentheses. So I'm going to guess that this is something that she's dealt
with a lot. I reject that wholeheartedly. As a KMM fan, I can't change now.
I thought it was really charming that a romance author, one of her last names was Moaning.
That's probably why she corrects people.
Yeah. Wow. That's fair.
I love this.
That's fair.
If you're out there, listener, if you're considering being an author, you have at least two people who are like, I would love it if your last name was just Orgasm.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I said Moaning.
It's subtle, Sabrina. It's subtle.
It's demure.
It is.
It's elegant. All right.
Demure.
Yeah.
So she's living there now. And we see three places that he takes her to be a little oops detector. And the first place is
his scent dog, his hound dog.
Yeah, because, oh my
his
God.
Hunting dog.
The phrase where she's like, a hunter never leaves without his hound dog. So like, obviously I had to go. I was like, why was that sexy?
I don't know, but it was. Also, one of them, I think the first one they go to, he looks at her and he says, like, don't touch anybody because, we found out she's also a null, which means that she can freeze Fae by touching them.
Right.
And so
and their power
like,
doesn't affect her if she touches them?
Something
well, only
like
if they're
that.
Frozen. Like,
oh, okay.
When they're frozen.
So because of that, he's like, don't touch anybody. We don't want to give ourselves away. And then he looks her dead in her uneducated face, I guess, is how I have to say it, and says, act like you like me even a little bit. Yes. And now that I know about the other night, like, that changes everything. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, you want to know what it really changes when he says, don't talk, don't speak. Because you're essentially arm candy, and she's like, but, and he's like, if you do talk, I'll find something better to do with your mouth.
No, he doesn't say that to her. He says to the other guy that she doesn't talk often because usually her mouth is too full.
That's what it is. Are there, listener, skip forward 15 seconds, is there a blowjob that night?
Oh, fuck yes.
I mean, I would imagine so in 5 hours of sex.
Hey, you don't know.
I don't know, but I said I imagine.
I also imagine.
I'm just like the things that I want to spoil but can't bring myself to.
I'm going to be reading this series now, and you're coming back for Patreon. We're gonna revisit the series at some point.
Yeah,
God knows when. God knows when, because I have like 18 historicals to get through.
But I can clear my schedule. I did it. Like, last night you told me that I was coming.
This is true.
And I opened the book and read it in 2 hours and cleared my whole schedule. I was like, I have nothing better to do.
My favorite was in the book chat. She's like, husband, hold my calls.
And have you heard any calls? No, he has held them.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Okay, so the first one that they go to is like this, I don't know, this black and white house.
Casablanca.
Sure. And the guy doesn't know that his personal bodyguards are Rhino Boys, which are Unseelie, the bad ones who mostly are in prison and are trying to always get out of prison. And so they go to him and she doesn't feel anything. They walk around. This was, hey, Jericho, how did they get away with walking around and going into every single room in the mansion and then like searching the grounds in like a grid pattern back and forth, it says, basically. Like, they go over every inch of this thing to see if she like poops herself. And I don't know how they got away with that. That's like really weird behavior. Anyway, so then the next one they go to is a vampire.
Malouche.
Everybody believes Malouche. Malouche in the audiobook.
Oh.
Is what it was.
I had my mind opened.
And so when she goes there, he's like, he might not be a vampire though. Like, who knows? And then he like throws a guy 18 feet and maybe murders
him
with a concussion.
And his yellow eyes like change color and like it's a whole thing.
Yeah. And then when they leave, he finds out that she pickpocketed. She like stole this little box with a magic rock in it. And I think this is when she figures out that she can feel all objects of power, which is now called oopsies. Oops.
Mm-hmm. Right? I like oopsies. Yeah.
I like oopsies too.
Yeah. And she also left everything out of her purse there. She like
she couldn't fit it in otherwise.
It just made me laugh, you know?
I mean, surely she could have stuffed a lipstick in her bra. Like, I don't understand why you had to leave it.
She may as well have left a calling card that said, hey, Malouche, guess what? I stole your fancy bra. Get fucked.
And that comes back later. Because he knows. Yeah. He's like, you took my stuff because I found your lipstick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she, by the way, so during all of this, now we have like a little like go away because we keep getting these scenes of her going to her sister's apartment and like checking on stuff because she's looking for her sister's journal. Yeah. And she's looking for her sister was a planner girly and a journal girly. And boy, howdy, if she did not write down every single thing that happened that day, did that day actually happen?
Right.
Which I'm impressed by, because as somebody who's always wanted to be a journaler, I've never successfully done it once in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually have done it once, but then the problem is I never do it again until
that's the next cycle.
And then I do it once,
journals with one entry, because I always think irrationally that
it just
this
takes
brand
a new,
new
journal.
Pretty journal
yeah.
is what it'll take
yeah.
to do the thing.
Now graduated to one notebook where everything goes, whether it's a thought or a piece of writing or something else. It's all in the same book. So it doesn't matter. Oh. So because the ADHD does not allow for continuity, then continuity doesn't matter. And you can just write in the next open page and you're good to go.
I know. So now the third one is a mobster.
Before she goes to the mobster.
You skip something, Rebecca.
I must have. Yes.
We meet the sex prince in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Vlaine.
She's walking down the street and all of a sudden she's
Vlaine.
Fucking topless and touching herself.
She's
in the middle
herself,
of the road.
That's a cute guy. I wonder if he has a brother or three.
Yeah.
So that I can fuck all of them right now in the street.
That was wild.
I wonder if he's into hashtag brother stuff.
Yeah. So it turns out he's supposedly, we don't have confirmation of this, but he's supposedly a good fae, a pretty good fae. And he is there on the queen's behalf and they've got a mission for her. And so he's like, basically, I want to check in on you every once in a while. You just keep doing what you're doing, girl. Like, you have fun with that. Also, like, do you want to fuck? I can make it so you don't die. And she's like, no. And then she looks down and she is touching her clitoris in the middle of the
night. Sure.
She's thrown everything in the gutter because, wow, she's just a horny toad.
Yeah. It's horny toad season.
And he offers her this cuff, this fancy bracelet that's supposed to, like, protect her from everything except for him and his people, basically.
Oh, cuff of
I missed that.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's supposed to be a way that they can, like, communicate, maybe, and, like, okay. protect her, and mm-hmm. it'll protect her from the shades. And she's like, I don't know that I want to accept something from someone that I don't know. And she showed smart. The first good sense that she has in a while.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, I probably would have been like, really? It'll protect me? That's so nice. Then I would have put it on. No, look, and like, they're good, question mark, except that like, instead of eating you, what they want to do is string you out on sex. They like having yeah. sex with humans, but it's a little bit methy on the human system. Yeah. And so, but like,
but he claims to really be able to do it in a way that doesn't leave her an addict, a mindless addict. So
that's right.
Like if sure. she can pull it back a bit, pull back the effect on humans.
Interesting.
He claims, whether we believe that or not.
But she manages to walk away from this encounter without being penetrated by anything. So that was a great
Except
day for her.
Maybe her fingers.
I was going to say, I don't know that there's confirmation that she wasn't finger banging in the middle of the road.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And then so he leaves, but he's definitely coming back at some point. There's no way that he's gone for good, which listener, that check got cashed and I did not. That wasn't on my bingo card.
Wow. That was a, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is
and
where he overhears.
Lobsters?
Oh, he yeah. overhears no, go a ahead. Conversation, which is where Mel got that Fiona and Barron's had a thing at some point.
Yeah,
and she's been wondering if, like, can I trust this man whose house that I'm staying in, and all
Ed
of these things.
Ed is hot. Mm-hmm. I begrudgingly think he's hot.
Which, like, I think he's hot too. You're fine.
You know what? I'm not there yet, but I bet I'll get there in book two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, but what she overhears from Fiona is Fiona saying, like, you have to let this girl go. She doesn't understand the amount of danger she's in from every side. She doesn't get the magnitude of the situation that she's in. And he's like, I didn't say that I was a good. I said might makes right or something like that. And have you seen the gun show? I know that you asked for tickets earlier and I gave them to you. So you should know how strong I am and how much I don't care about good things. I care about job getting done.
And you're going to.
And then he mind bends her somehow.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
You caught that.
Mac doesn't know how, but all of a sudden she's like, he says, do you agree, Fiona? And she goes from like a regular voice to being like, yeah, Barron's, of course. Ooh.
Yep, suddenly I caught that.
That was convincing, Sabrina.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has a mind power of some sort, Sabrina. I bet it's druid stuff.
You don't have to tell me. You might want to tell listener.
No, I know. I was only telling listener for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
And now we go to mobster times?
Now it's mobster time.
Yeah. So she's going to go into the Irish mafia den. And he takes her there. And boy, she's mad that he ordered her steak perfectly. Ooh, how
and she
dare
is wearing
he.
The sluttiest dress she's ever worn in her life.
She's wearing
that
a
That seems
slutty
no
dress.
Shorter or more revealing than anything else that she wears.
It's just not
no.
pink.
Question mark. Yeah. Although I guess the back is open and she doesn't usually wear open back. But still, I was like...
It's black and it has a jewel on the bosom is what I got mm-hmm. from it in her cleavage.
Sure.
And her boobs jiggle with it, too. This
oh,
is
yes.
the boob jiggle moment.
This is the jiggly boob dress.
He does look at them a lot.
He yeah. gets distracted by them and I understand. Then they get, like, summoned to the back by the Don. And he... lives in a religious museum, so everything back there is Catholic, including like a saint bone question mark.
I have to go back to this moment where they're in the car together.
Oh yeah,
because it was a moment that I, as a first time reader of this book, probably reread 20 times, I guess, because my romance heart was like grasping at straws.
Okay. Tell me everything.
Like, oh yeah, that's a move, they're... by the way.
Yeah.
So she folds her arms as they're about to go over the train tracks because yeah. she's trying to hold in the boobs. And then as she crosses them, she can feel his eyes on her bosom. Mm. And she says, "I knew without even looking that he had that raw, hungry look on his face again. I refused to glance his way, and we rode for several miles in silence with him using up entirely too much room in the car and a weird tension eating up what little space there was between us."
Mm.
And then she goes, "Seen the new Gallardo spider, I blurted finally. It's a car, I guess.
Yeah.
No, he said instantly. Why don't you tell me about it, Miss Lane? The playful edge in his voice was gone, and it was guttural and tight." And so, like, she goes on about cars in order to break the sexual tension.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello, I am ready for all of it.
I think that that, like, I thought that he was a sexy man just because, like, from the beginning, I was like, this is the hero. There's
this
no
is
way
the
this
sexy
isn't
man.
The hero.
Yeah.
This is the sexy man. Yeah. But, like, that was also the point when in the book where I was like, oh, this is actually the sexy man. Mm-hmm. This is our first glimpse of sexy man. Also,
this is our first glimpse of their sexual tension, their chemistry combined.
Also, you can definitely clock this book as a mid-knots because, as you just pointed out, boy, there's a lot of car talk.
So many cars and horsepowers too.
Yeah, she's like a girly girl, but she like knows her cars. So.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's in this, like, religious mob man museum thing.
Personal collection, you know, kind of situation.
And she can tell that there's something nearby.
She goes, "Pugh!" No, really, she says, "Oops," as she, like, as she
she stumbles
trips
over the door.
Yeah. She's like, we didn't
she's
settle
so
on a code
subtle
word, but I think he might have gotten it. I don't know.
Also, like, But like, it's like, did you ever talk to him about the fact that you specifically call them oops? You
don't worry. Don't she has talked about everything that's ever crossed her mind. Like, this
I
is not
that's true.
A silent and mysterious bitch. Like,
yeah,
that's very accurate.
Yeah, she's an open. She journals with her mouth.
Yes, she journals and she journals with her mouth. Yes.
Yeah.
You're correct. And so they end up leaving at some point. But while they're leaving, he's like, all right, we got to get changed into something you've never worn in your life, which is all black clothing. And we're crawling.
They're going spelunking.
We're pulling on Teenage Mutant Ninja Oops Finders.
Yes. Yeah.
And they do go crawling around in the sewer and they get to this door. So, like, this is really, frankly, my worst nightmare, actually, because this is,
yeah,
like, not only is this dark, still water, this is also dark, creepy tunnel.
Yeah.
And he does.
Also.
Super smelly.
Smelly is fine. I'm not a fan, but it's fine. But like the rest of this, no.
I didn't even think about this, but he says that he can get into the room from like a back way because he's quote unquote a good swimmer.
Mm.
Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Pardon? Mm-hmm. Huh. I wonder how he actually got in there.
Is he a little fish man?
Is he aquatic of any kind?
Mm.
Does he have aquatic elements to him?
Mm. We are asking you a direct question.
What a good question.
Rebecca.
What an interesting question.
When I asked her if he was a druid earlier, she had the audacity to ask me, wouldn't you like to know?
That is the most her response
I know
I've ever heard
That's
in my
I wasn't
entire
even mad
life. Yeah, so Mac is the least mysterious bitch because Rebecca has all of the mystery.
Yeah. Rebecca's a locked
woman
box
of mystery on the Canadian plains.
That's where we're going to leave off for today. Tomorrow, we'll be back with part two. In the meantime, check out Rebecca's wonderful, cozy, contemporary romances. She writes as Lynn Camden, and her website is in the show notes. Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by me, Melody Carlisle. Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by the ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. That one small action is a huge way to help the show. If you want to get in touch with us for advertising inquiries or anything else, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram at heavingbosoms, on TikTok at heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult. See you tomorrow.